and welcome to the Triathlon Coach Podcast. My name's Simon Ward and I'm your host for this weekly show where my goal is to share practical, usable advice from the best athletes, coaches and experts from the world of triathlon so that you can get the most from your training time and maximise your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. If you don't already know me, I'm the founder of thetriathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle, and I've been a triathlon coach for over 20 years, working with absolute beginners right up to Olympic athletes and coaching them to race at distances from sprint through to Ironman. Reviews and ratings are the currency of podcasts, so if you enjoy today's conversation, I'd really appreciate it if you could drop into iTunes, Podbean or Stitcher and leave a rating and a review. And while you're there, please subscribe to our weekly episodes so that they can be downloaded straight into your phone or your iPad or wherever you choose to listen to them. And finally, to say thank you, I have a free gift for you. I've put together 25 of my top tips amassed from 30 years of racing and training and coaching in the sport. All you have to do is email triathlonsuccess to beth@thetriathloncoach.com and she'll send it right out to you. Okay, now it's time to crack on with today's guest. So, welcome to the show, Debbie Potts, all the way from America. Whereabouts in America, Debbie?
America. I'm up across the pond in Seattle.
Ah, I've been there. And people who go from the UK say that Seattle weather's very like the UK. It's quite warm in the summer. It's cold in the winter and you get a lot of rain.
Yes, people say that about here. That's, I think we could battle who has the most sun, though. It depends.
I have been to Seattle, and most of the time when I've been there, it's been sunny. I don't think I've experienced any rain there. So,
I know, it's funny. Yeah, so we're way across the way from you in London and Seattle area. I always try to, when I go to Europe traveling, I always have to say Seattle, think Starbucks, Microsoft. Well, Amazon's taken over our town. So we've got all the big companies here and taken over our little small business town.
Yeah, and before then, Boeing were the big employers, weren't they? And still are, probably.
Yeah. So that's Seattle.
And the Seahawks as well, of course. You did win the Super Bowl a few years ago. But,
wow. You know the Seahawks. Yes, they were in London last year too. So they might be familiar to people over there.
Well, my visits to Seattle were to do with CompuTrainer, who were based there as well before their demise. So I used to come over to that place, and we drove past the Washington State University football stadium. And I thought,
oh, you said the wrong one. No, University of Washington. Washington State is a competitor in the middle of the state that's on farm country.
Okay, my mistake. Well, we went past a huge football stadium that looked bigger than Wembley, which is our national stadium. And I was like, I'm thinking that must be the Seahawks. And they said, no, that's just the university, but they do sell out the games. It's a totally new experience to me that student football would have huge crowds because you only get that in soccer over here.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, Debbie, listen, I heard a podcast last week that you'd done with Brad Cairns, and you were talking about your new book, Life is Not a Race, It's a Journey. And the whole philosophy behind that conversation really connected with the way I like to do my coaching. So I thought, firstly, we could just chat a little bit about your book, and you could tell us about the inspiration, and then we can talk about this whole holistic method of coaching and training that you provide.
Yes, for sure. It's, you know, I wrote my book. It's a very personal story. So if you're a type A, or what Brad and I say, triple A personality, you may relate to it. So I kind of just felt this need to share what happened to me to other competitive overachievers. And no, I was living life as a race and not a journey. So I just wrote kind of what happened to me. And then I went back in time and going, okay, where did all this start? So it's about living life as a race, is about being competitive in life and racing a lot and training. And then suddenly I just got, one day I felt like I got ran over by a semi truck. And not literally, but I was on a bike ride and I just had no energy. And I'm usually a strong cyclist and done 15 Ironmans and 5 Ironman Hawaii's have qualified for. So I'm good at cycling, but I just had nothing. And it just was like, what's going on? And just started this emotional roller coaster. I gained 30 pounds in a few months. I couldn't train. My muscle was just like disintegrating and I couldn't sleep. I'd be up all night, you know, 2 in the morning, wide awake. And so it was just a start of this new journey. And that started in March 2013. And, you know, we're recording this as July 2019. I'm just finally starting to get my health back. And my goal is now to focus on sharing this story to help other athletes from going down that road that I did, and how to prevent that burnout, breakdown, and internal dysfunction that just happens with that. I feel like we should see these red flags, and I did not. So that's kind of what my new purpose is in life.
In the foreword that I was reading about your book, he talks about HPA dysfunction or chronic stress disease. So is that what you're referring to here when you just had no energy and you put on weight? And yep. what sort of tests and things did you undergo and the results to discover that you had this, or to be diagnosed with this? Because I know that often in the UK we talk about ME, and for a while doctors used to tell people that they just needed to go away and have a couple of early nights and they'd be fine. They didn't believe it was actually an illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So exactly what happened. I was struggling, and that's a lot of my book was like, and I just happened to clean out my office at home, and I found all my labs and I put them in a pile and put them a picture on my Instagram page and said, you know, here's my journey. This was in a 1 year time span that I saw, I think, 10 different practitioners, medical doctors, naturopaths, and just trying to get someone to help fix me. Cause I, back then it was like, all right, I've got, you know, Ironman Canada coming up. I've got Hanu 70.3. That was just in a few months. And I was wanting to do the quick fix. And 1 month, you know, I'd read all this information and go, okay, I can get better. And then, so I went to these different people trying to get help. And what I've, you know, where am I actually wearing my t-shirt now? I wish I knew now what I knew then, but it was this, the answer isn't to get all the labs and get supplements. It was, there's a lot more to it. Kind of going back to what you asked in the beginning, what is the holistic method? It was kind of how that started. It was how to train the whole athlete, holistic method, that it wasn't just taking supplements, wasn't fixing what was wrong with me. So HPA axis dysregulation is what, as I wrote the book, kind of started being the new term of, it used to be called adrenal fatigue with stage 2, stage 3 is adrenal exhaustion. So-called adrenal exhaustion is what happened to me, but technically it's not the adrenals. It's the hypothalamus telling the pituitary gland, telling the adrenal gland, which is HPA axis, telling it to respond to a source of stress, or, you know, your fight or flight, you're in an emergency, telling my adrenals to respond to that emergency, yeah, all day long. So it became chronic, which isn't good.
Yeah, I'd written down adrenal fatigue here, actually, and cortisol tests. And I was thinking that if you'd had some tests, you might have had those, and they'd shown that they were sky high. What you're describing, of course, is fairly reflective, I would think, of a large proportion of endurance athletes, and particularly triathletes, that you and I probably come into on a regular basis. And of course, if you've got a race to prepare for, and it's coming up very soon, the last thing you want to hear is somebody saying, well, if you take 6 to 12 months off, you're probably going to get over this, because, you know, well, what about if I take a couple of days off, or maybe I can have some blood tests? There must be something wrong with me. I must have something else. And it's just now you've been doing too much and you haven't rested enough. So your body's switched on to a permanent state of fight or flight.
Well, that's why I call it chronic stress disease. That's not a technical word. That's my own term. It's just like, if you're racing from the time you wake up until you go to bed at night, we're not stopping. It's like, you're not having any, what I call now, pause, reset, reboot, recalibrate your system. We're just going nonstop. And I think that is what a lot of athletes, and especially triathletes, when we're trying to fit 3 sports in on top of a work schedule, a life schedule, family life, that people burn the candles at both ends. And how do you train for an Ironman triathlon, or, you know, any event that's it takes a lot of hours. How do you do it without breaking yourself down is what the big question is, and what I've tried to create a program to help solve that. But it is so individual.
It's interesting that you probably get the same inquiries that I do from people who say, so I've got three children. One of them's only 6 months old. I've just been promoted. I do a lot of traveling, and I've decided I want to do an Ironman next year. And you think, well, you've already got a fairly hectic life there. Where are you going to squeeze all this training in? Yes, but it says anything is possible. And I believe that mantra. And all the people on the social media are telling me, if I just believe, I can achieve. And it's like they then come to you to help for help in getting to this dream. And you're probably sitting there with your head in your hands, shaking yourself and thinking, you just need to maybe do a 5K for now, mate, and just relax a little bit.
That's funny, because I did a podcast and a blog, I think last year, a few years ago, about what is your why and what are you racing for? You know, what's your reason? What are you running from, and what are you running to? And I found, you know, a few years ago, Ironman was a big thing. People are all getting into doing it. It's like, why are you doing it just so you can cross the finish line and say, I am an Ironman, even though you're just killing yourself trying to fit in your training and you're gaining weight and you're not sleeping. You're just destroying your cell health. That's like, why are we doing this? So I think it is finding, when is it appropriate in your life to do an Ironman, and what you need to kind of reschedule and move around or kind of reprioritize your life so you can fit it in your training in a healthy way that doesn't cause what we say in metabolic chaos, is what we say in functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, FDN work. We work on the metabolic chaos is kind of the dysfunction that leads chronic stress leads to.
Maybe there's a podcast in here as well, Debbie, where we talk about how you know when the time is right for doing an Ironman, and, you know, or maybe how to identify when the time is wrong. Like if you have three children and one of them's just doing exams and one's going to university and et cetera, now's not the right time.
Here's your quick response, the quick answer. It depends.
The default coach's answer, it depends.
Yeah. Don't we always say that? It depends. I don't know. Everyone asks all these questions. I'm like, you know, unless you really dive deep into someone's lifestyle, their personality, you do, you know, the right lab work and figure out, all right, this is time. But it's just so hard to get people to realize they need to slow down a little bit. That I always say more is not better. I think we always think more is better, and sometimes less is more. And how your quality of workouts will improve if you take an active rest day or take a 20-minute nap or just lie on the ground for 10 minutes and just reset. So I think there's so much that we can share with people to improve their performance and longevity, as we speak about with coaches.
It seems like if you're on this path and I'm on this path, and Maffetone's been on this path for 30 years, and finally people listening to him, that Brad Cairns and Mark Sisson and Paul Larson and Dan Plews, that we all seem to be on this path of slowing down a little bit. And yeah, it's totally odds with modern life of trying to do more, of fitting more in, of being on the go, of being totally connected 24/7. And that's our difficulty, I think, is that we have to, we're going against the flow of a very powerful river. And we've got to be strong. But I do think there's a growing momentum towards this. Is that your sense?
You know, I do. Last year, Ironman Hawaii at the expo, if you were there, there was a lot of more recovery, you know, the mattress and drinks and all this stuff for recovery. Normatec's been there for a long time, but I found there was a lot more vendors there that were promoting the recovery and repair cycle. So, and I did notice a trend, at least that part. And I think more athletes are using the Oura Ring and measuring the heart rate variability and using the different apps. But there's a fine line of getting too much into biohacking and too much electronic devices, I find. I mean, you can track everything, but when does it get to be another stress? It's additional multitasking problem that we're adding to our life that, all right, I want to do this, I'm going to do that. It's like I just did a seminar on how chronic stress impacts the whole you, including your ability to burn fat, on Jimmy Moore's low carb cruise. And I just, you know, say the word squirrel. It is, that's what I think people's Apple Watches are and their phones. And I think that is a lot of our constant distractions are adding source of external stressors. So we have our internal stressors that we don't really know about unless we get lab testing. And then our external stressors, which are kind of obvious if you start looking around at our society, it's pretty bad.
You mentioned all of the recovery booths that were there in Kona last year, and I noticed that as well. I just did a podcast with a lady called Christy Ashwanden, who's written a book about called Good to Go. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's all about recovery. And she's researched all the various recovery methods and found that a lot of them didn't hold much water. They were based on sort of questionable research. And we talked about this sort of the irony of trying to biohack things that would help you recover. So trying to biohack sleep so you could get more rest in a shorter period of time so you could fit more into your day, which is very ironic, by using heart rate variability, which Dan Plews and Paul Larson very much support. But even they say, you know, sometimes just listening to your body and learning to listen to those signals and respond to them is the best way. Just get sleep, listen to your body, and actually you'll do a pretty good job.
So that is the secret sauce. And that's the hardest thing for people to do, is to stop, pause, and be aware of yourself enough to listen to your body. I think so many people, perhaps because we're in sympathetic dominance, that we don't have the ability to feel what we are feeling. And we become so chronically busy and running from that lion all day that we don't know how to be in touch with what we feel. And I realize this personal training clients for 25 years, how many people come and I ask them, can you activate that muscle? Can you feel that? You know, what do you feel working? And people that I could tell were kind of in that high stress mode coming in, that they couldn't feel anything. And I think that's a lot of athletes, if you stop to listen. It's like, all right, how do I feel? Am I tired or not? I think that's kind of what happened to me for so many years. I didn't know I was tired. I was going from 4 a.m. until 7:30 at night. I'd get home and going nonstop, that I didn't ever stop, pause, and go, how do I feel today? And that's, I think, like you said, you know, to listen to your body is an area of opportunity for most type A, triple A personalities like myself.
There, I've noticed that there's certainly in the UK, there's a fair number of coaches that are very good athletes, and a fair number of those are from the military, where there's definitely a no pain, no gain, you know, death before dishonor, all of that sort of thing. And I get the fact that if you're in the special forces and you're going into battle, it is a life or death affair. But that doesn't happen when you go out for a run in the woods, does it? Not unless you've probably got bears and wolves around here where you are. But in England here, you very, very often come back from a run alive. So it's not like going out on a military mission. And I do dislike the militaristic way in which training is, you know, go hard all the time. You know, the harder you go, the better you'll feel. And there's this sort of then badge of honor about how many hours of training you've done, how many hours at work you've been, how little sleep you've had in order to get to this goal. And it's, you know, social media just magnifies that. And it also makes people feel guilty if they are doing what you say about getting more sleep, sitting down, resting, having a day off. They actually feel guilty about doing that, and they shouldn't. They should be wearing that as a badge of honor.
Well, yeah, that's so funny, because I've said that, and I think I figured that out when I was writing my book, and I wrote a blog the other day too about this, that you feel guilty if you aren't doing anything. And if you're not constantly busy, you feel like that's how you measure success. If I have a successful day, I had no breaks and I didn't stop moving. I rocked it. I did, you know, nonstop activities throughout the day. It's like a race and you feel successful, but it's just the opposite. More is not better. It's taking those breaks you actually might perform better in life, and knowing that that's not laziness. And so I think we feel like we need to be the superhero to be successful, and just put another notch in her belt I'm a better person. I did more than you. And that's a kind of competitive race attitude. Maybe it's like, I came first place and I have to do that in my daily life as well.
Maybe that's what I'm going to start doing on social media. I'm going to start posting about, hey, I did nothing today. Oh, yeah, I had a lazy day. I slept in. Oh, do you know what? I didn't do any training this week. I've decided to listen to my body and I've taken a rest and see how many likes and responses I get.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, you lazy butt, you know, get up, do something. And I've really realized that a lot when I first had my body change, because I just came off of amazing career of triathlons in 2012. I was winning my age group in my races, and I did Ironman Hawaii in October 2012 and did really well for myself. And then I, you know, went December, I did a marathon, and I did a 50K trail run. And then January, February, I did another trail run, 50K. And then I did March. Suddenly I was getting fatter and slower and realized, okay, I gained 30 pounds. And I wanted to tell everyone, it's not what I'm eating or my exercise. You know, I was low carb, high fat. I was fat adapted. I was totally metabolically efficient. You know, I have my lab tests or my metabolic efficiency tests to show that. But when I suddenly gained 30 pounds and I went to Ironman Coeur d'Alene that year in June, and I was so embarrassed, and I just wanted to wear a sign saying, I am not sitting on the sofa eating bags of chips. It's not me. It's my, you know, metabolic dysfunction, and my whole body's just screwed up that I'm having weight gain, metabolic chaos. So it is not a bad thing to stop and do a walk instead of a run, or take a 20-minute nap, or rest on the sofa 10 minutes before you go from your bike to run workout some days, if you listen to your body and pay attention to that. Or else you'll be like me and 5 years later still haven't raced an Ironman.
I think the other thing as well, Debbie, is particularly when you go to Kona, you know, I probably, my body fat's 12-13%, but I'm healthy. I haven't been ill for 18 months. I've not had an injury for, you know, 12 months. I train 10 hours a week. So I feel like I'm in a great spot. But you go to Kona particularly and you feel like you get a body image problem, because everybody is 5%. I've seen girls there that make some of that, they look like CrossFitters. They've got veins on veins. It's a bit androgenic really, yeah. But everybody's looking at everybody else to see what they're eating. Everybody's ordering the vegan, you know, option in lava java with the bean sprouts, yeah, that they probably wouldn't normally choose, but they've got to take a photograph for Instagram with the dolphins in the background. And, there's an awful lot of there's an awful lot of social pressure for people to conform with, and this world that we live in of Ironman triathlon is a great sport. It's a fantastic achievement to cross that line, but at the same time, if you're not careful and you slip the other side of the line, it can be so destructive, can't it, to your psychology, your mental health, and your physical health. And I think you sound like you're like me, is you want to try and prevent people from ending up like you did and like some of the people that I've known.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, I have to share that. I think I wrote that in my book too. And I'm in Hawaii, Digme Beach, they call it, start. I remember years ago putting on the skin suit people. It was when people started wearing skin suits, and I went down in my tri suit to the beach and I was putting on that skin suit, and my husband was up on the side of the sidewalk looking down, and I started crying. Like, I can't put this on. You know, I feel so fat and I have sausage legs and I can't do this. And I had this meltdown because I look back at my pictures and I always say now, why didn't I appreciate what I had back then? Because I felt fat and had, you know, couldn't shove in my body into a skin suit when I was actually in good shape and pretty lean and strong. But it is just all the other people there that are so unhealthy, like Paul Larson and Maffetone, you know, wrote the article Fit and Unhealthy. And that's a perfect example of majority of people at Ironman Hawaii. Are you fit and unhealthy? What's underneath the hood of the car? Yeah. You know, is your engine totally dysfunctional and you're destroying everything, but you might look good on the outside if you like that lean, sinewy look. But yeah,
well, let's just go back to the holistic method then, Debbie, because I know that you've got clients to see in about 10 minutes. So I just wanted to just spend a couple of minutes taking us through the steps of the holistic method. I've got a sense that you start from the bottom up and put nutrition and recovery in there first, and build the training on the top. Would that be correct?
You know, it's funny. I should write it that way, like do a pyramid.
Oh, no, don't, please, because I've done that already.
Okay, so mine's a circle. So it's kind of like your wheel. Everything has to be kind of in alignment. So the holistic method is something I'm finally just promoting this year because I'm really passionate about it, because listening to everyone and the conversations we're having today is so needed to get this message out. So I appreciate you having me on the show to share this. The training the whole athlete is what my podcast is called. And it means like the whole you from the inside out, and to transform yourself from the inside out to improve your performance longevity. There's 8 elements plus more, but I started creating this back in 2013, kind of when my health was going into chaos. I was taking Ben Greenfield's Superhuman Coach program back in 2010-ish and kind of went over all this stuff. And over the years, I was doing Paul Check's, the Check Institute Holistic Lifestyle Coach, and I've done all these different trainings. So I started kind of learning this from my own experience and from all the certification courses I was doing, stuff that kind of clicked with me, resonated with me, and my philosophy and my own life and observations, that it's not just our training. You know, I was doing Maffetone training. I was Mark Allen's elite team from 2004 when I started doing Ironman's 2001, and I was doing heart rate training, but started with Mark in 2003 or 2004. And we did Maffetone training for all that. So I was doing the exercise part, but there's a whole other area that we need to look at athletes and when we're coaching people and personally, just regular lifestyle to be healthy. So the 8 elements are nutrition, exercise, and that's where our recovery is in there as well. And then we've got sleep, stress, movement and mobility, digestion and gut health, and hormone balances in there a little bit too. And then hydration, because so many people drink too much caffeinated beverages, not enough water. And then a big one I find is missing a lot for our industry is happiness, playful, laughing, being silly, gratitude. And so I coach people, you know, kind of start with what one area, usually digestion, gut health, and nutrition. Like it's what we eat, but how we eat it and when we eat it. So working on intermittent fasting and different time restricted eating. But the exercise part, those two, you know, but it's just this, it can't, I always try not to overwhelm people, but when I do programs with people and I have a group program, is working on your sleep and working on stress. Stress impacts all of it. So if you think of how stress impacts nutrition, your exercise, your sleep, your happiness, your gut health, I mean, stress impacts everything. So all of these things need to be addressed to really work on maximizing optimizing your health from a cellular level, the mitochondria, and working on our performance for tomorrow for our race season, but also performance in life and in the long term. So I say performance and longevity.
Very interesting, because that's Paul Larson and Dan Pluser on that same thing, aren't they, with their coaching health, performance, longevity, in that order.
Yeah, I just podcasted. I know, I just podcasted with him. Like, that's why I think I clicked with all you guys just connecting just this year, that I'm like, oh my gosh, we're all on the same path and the same page. And same with Brad Kearns. It's like, all right, there's obviously, you know, what we can all do together, get this message out, and how we can create impact working together and collaborating, because it is really important, I think, for athletes to hear this.
The listeners have heard me talking about this with many people. I've had Maffetone on a couple of times. I've had Dan Plews and Paul Larson on a couple of times. I've now got you on. So they should be used to this now, but still it's nice for them to hear what practical actions that they can take to integrate this type of lifestyle into their own lifestyle. So what are some of the things that they might, you mentioned about gut health and nutrition there. Do you think those are the first steps, and what specifically could they do with regards to gut health just to get started?
Well, I think that would be with what we're eating and, you know, eating real foods, and you can metabolic typing to figure out which foods to eat, or to balance your blood sugar, because that will cause gut issues too if you're not eating the right foods, real foods. And I'm usually more low carb, high fat, and get people to be fat adapted. So that will help your gut health. But part of that, improving our gut health, our digestion is essential. So what you're eating is first, but then, as I said, how you're eating. And I think this is an easy free tip. You don't have to buy anything to do this. Stop, take 3 breaths in and out before you start eating, and not do anything else but eat. So you're not driving your car, you're not working at your desk, you're not doing 10 things at once in your house eating. Focus on one thing and properly chew your food. We're supposed to chew 20 to 30 times before you swallow, not just inhale and not digest your food properly from right there. So the first part, improved digestion, is eating real food, taking your time to focus on eating so you get your body in parasympathetic nervous state. So we're in the rest and digest nervous system, and we're chewing our food to help the whole digestive process, because digestion starts north and work way south. So getting the enzymes, getting the right stomach acid, we often have to take supplements for stomach acid, HCL supplements, and digestive enzymes. Maybe some people don't digest their fats properly, so have gallbladder fat issues, so we might need some bile supplement like ox bile. So that is a really important part for gut health. And then, you know, sometimes we need to do a total gut restoration program, or simple thing you can do is just start. I have people do bone broth and do a bone broth fast and help improve gut health.
I love the eat slow. I'm not sure if you've heard of precision nutrition. I'm a precision nutrition coach, a level 2 coach. And it's quite interesting talking to people about, because they come along and say, can I have a meal plan, please? And I said, well, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a coach. So I'm going to look at the problems and the issues that you have that's stopping you achieving what you want through your nutrition. And we set off a challenge a few weeks ago. I call it the race shape challenge, because I don't like the idea that people have to get into a race weight, really. And the first lesson was exactly what you mentioned, eat slow. And people were writing back going, yeah, but where's my meal plans? I'm like, let's just do some simple little things first. Let's just eat slow. And then the next precision nutrition guide is to eat until you're 80% full. So not, you know, people of my age in the UK, of parents who were brought up in the post-war era when food was rationed and everybody was encouraged to eat what was on your plate and not leave anything. And that still holds true today. But what we're actually saying here is don't eat what's on your plate, or start off with a smaller plate and go back for seconds. But those two rules or guidelines can get most people to 90% of the way towards gut health and their target weight without doing anything fancy. But they were the two hardest. Yeah. They were the two hardest things for people to accept. It took some people over a month just to learn to eat slowly, to do exactly what you said. Take a couple of breaths, put your knife and fork down, drink a sip of water or something, and to eat mindfully, not being distracted by phones or books or TV or other things. But so powerful.
Yeah, mindful eating, I think, is a good way to say it. Just mindful eating, because so many people don't do that. And I see people eating all the time, and that's usually working with clients is that, you know, mindful eating, but also intermittent fasting, I find really helps people in time restricted eating. So I have them stop eating 3 hours before bed, which does multiple benefits to have people detox and repair overnight, but also improve your ability to digest your food. And your sleep, I find, is for myself, is really improved if I stop eating 3 hours before bed, which when I go to bed at 8 o'clock, I stop eating at 5 o'clock because I get up early. So I find, you know, intermittent fasting is what I coach people in my 30-day program to do. And so it is working on the holistic method, is working on your sleep, working on how we're eating, when we're eating, and, you know, just working on getting real foods in your body so you're not spiking the blood sugar and being on that blood sugar roller coaster.
And that's another thing that we notice with endurance athletes is the fact that they're probably not carrying much weight. And so when they're out on a ride or a run, they think they can reward themselves with a refined sugar snack. Yes. I was out with a guy the other day. We stopped after 2.5 hours of riding. He ordered a huge hot chocolate with whipped cream and marshmallows on top and had a piece of chocolate cake. I didn't calculate how many grams of sugar were in it, but that the effect on his blood sugar would have been monumental. Those yes. constant but glucose monitors would have been singing all the way home, I think.
I know. And I think a lot of people I find are not losing weight. The people that aren't, you know, racing a high level, there's a lot of athletes, age groupers that are heavy. And I find that's kind of what I was writing articles on a new ebook, is that, you know, are you fit, fat, and unhealthy? Because I think so many people don't eat right, and they think they can eat whatever they want because they just bike 3 hours and they have way too many carbohydrates and sugars because that's what they read in magazines or what their coach said or whatnot. So it's really getting people to do opposite what you've been told and eat differently. And you don't need to eat all that food and sugars and reward yourself with food if you're fat adapted, because you're not even hungry and you feel full and satisfied and you lose those cravings. So I think that will help your health on the inside and out. And going back to digestion, gut health is really beneficial.
I think that's what Phil Maffetone has written about extensively, calling the overfat syndrome, isn't it? What you refer to there.
Yes.
So
yeah, he's great articles.
I know you've got to go, Debbie. I asked you for some ways in which our listeners might get started. From what you've said, I've picked up on eat slow and mindfully. Consider intermittent fasting. So that's just extending the length of time where you don't eat. So probably eating earlier before you go to bed, and then maybe delaying breakfast a bit. And I get a sense that from what you're saying, that when you talk about slow, that if we discussed it a bit more, you'd be right on track with the Maffetone method of training, about slowing down a little bit and then being very mindful about when you put those fast bursts in.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So you can, my podcast, which we'll have to have you on, is called The Whole Athlete Podcast, where I talk about all these different topics as well, like you do. And my Instagram is Low Carb Athlete. And my website is debbiepotts.net. And I've been writing more and trying to do a new ebook. I'll hopefully finish when I'm in Kona, hibernating for a week before the race. Chaos Starts, and writing how to become fat adapted athlete to burn fat, optimize health, and improve performance. So just trying to, you know, follow my passion and my purpose and help create impact as you are.
Fantastic. I think we've started the ball rolling. We've got some momentum. We just need to start, like pushing a snowball up a hill. We need to keep pushing until we get to the top and it starts to gather its own momentum. But Debbie Potts, thank you so much for being on the show today. I love what you're doing. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I look forward to seeing you in Kona. And yeah, thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you so much. It was fun.
Thanks, listeners.
Good connecting.
Yeah, thanks, listeners. Once again, another great guest for you today. So hope you enjoyed that, and have a great week. Bye for now. That's a wrap for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the conversation, and I hope you learned at least one thing. If this is the first time you've listened in, please go back and take a listen to some of our previous guests, and I can guarantee they will be just as good as the one you've just heard. If you've been a regular listener, then thank you for being a part of this journey with me so far. Finally, I'd like to take just a few seconds to tell you about my SWOT Inner Circle program. In the last few years, I spent an awful lot of time creating training programs and resources to help you train and race at whatever triathlon distance you choose, and for some of the events outside of triathlon, like aquabike, duathlon, and swimrun events. As a SWOT member, you get access to all of these plans for 12 months of the year. And on top of that, we provide guidance on strength and conditioning, nutrition, plus a whole host of other supportive activities which help you to train, recover, and race better. We also have a really friendly Facebook community. It's an exclusive Facebook page for SWOT members only, and there are over 150 of them already. If you join, you'll be able to get access to that page, and you'll be able to ask for help, and our members are all too happy to provide guidance and advice based on their experiences. I'll also be there to help you find solutions to your training problems, and all you have to do is tag me in the Facebook page in one of your posts, or you can book a 15-minute phone call should you need one. If you'd like more information, or if you're ready to press the button and join the SWOT Inner Circle, just email beth@thetriathloncoach.com and she will send you all of the details. So that's all for this week. Hopefully I'll see you again next week, same time, same place, with a different guest.